Approximately 8 o'clock. Okay. We left off in the middle of the Malacha of Kosev and Mochek, Ksiva. We spoke a little bit about the Malacha of Ksiva, and then we spoke last week about Gzeira Shema, Shema Yichtov. Mekel HaMemke is also in the Rabbanon. Gzeira Shema Yichtov. Sometimes it's more than a Gzeira, the Rabbanon Shema Yichtov. Sometimes it's Medirei Kabbalah. Medirei Kabbalah means a prohibition which is recorded in Kisvei HaKodesh, in the Nevi'im Uksuvim. Whatever is recorded in the Chumash is Adin Daraisa. Whatever recorded in the Nevi'im Uksuvim is considered Dibrei Kabbalah. The Gemara has an expression, Dibrei Kabbalah Kedibrei Torah Damya. We're supposed to be more machmir on Dibrei Kabbalah than on other dinim derabbanan. So the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, Mimtzoch hafatzech v'dabed dover, shalai hei debruch ha-shal Shabbos ki debruch ha-shal chol. And Mimtzoch hafatzech, you're not allowed to be oisik in business on Shabbos. So that Rashi, and we mentioned Rashi and Beitzah in different places, quotes different makaris. Why is Mekel HaMemke also on Shabbos? In one place he writes Kzerish and Yichtov, one place he writes that it's also Medirei Kabbalah, because Mimtzoch hafatzech v'dabed dover. So the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva where he explains that the person keeps a shop open all day long on Shabbos and is careful not to violate any deraisa, never does any ksiva, just does the handles mukzah, like Hamemka. So that's an isa medirei kabbalah. That's memtzocha fatzech. But if he just sells one thing, he sells one bag of bananas, or he sells a sefer or something, one thing, can't say that's memtzocha fatzech. He just sold one thing, so that's a gzeirah shem yichtav. That's only a derabbanan. But if it's in business all day long, that's mochana, that's medirei kabbalah. So the Mishnah, and we spoke last week about the Mishnah in Beit Salam involved, and Beit says you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos in the Kachem because gzeirah shem yichtav. You may write the ksuba, you may write a record of who got married to whom. So so the Gemara asked Akasha in Beit Salam something about, isn't it a makom mitzvah? So the Gemara answers, the Mishnah is talking about a case where Yesh Leisha Bonim, he already has a wife. This is his second wife. And he already has children. He already fulfilled the mitzvah of Pirurim. So what exactly was the Gemara's kasha? What was the answer? So the Rabbeinu Tam interpreted. We don't really have the Ramah in Shin Lamites. If Dalet, Ramah says we absolutely don't paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, we paskin like Rashi. So the Rabbeinu Tam interpreted in the Gemara, isn't it a mitzvah, so it should be mutter. It's only a gzera mit the Rabban, a gzera shem yichtov. So sometimes we assume that the Gemara has a statement, mitzvah be'idna the asik bo, when the person is involved in performing a mitzvah, negina umatzla, the fact that he's doing a mitzvah, that will protect him from falling in from doing an aver. If a person is learning Torah, so the Liman HaTorah will protect him even b'idna d'loy asik bo, all day long, even when he's not learning. But if he only does mitzvahs, mitzvahs are only, Pasuk says, kiner mitzvah v'torah or, a mitzvah is like a little candle, ner, v'torah or, learning Torah is like a torch. What's the difference? The candle only lasts for 4 or 5 hours, the torch lasts for much longer, and the torch gives much more illumination, and the candle gives very restricted little illumination. So Liman HaTorah is megan much more than mitzvahs, but mitzvahs are megan b'idna dasik. So there's room to say the Rabbi Natam understood in the Gemara's Kasha and the Teretz that if it's ein lo isha banim and it's getting married for the first time and it's a mitzvah to get married, so then they wouldn't make the gzera the Rabbanim. Makom mitzvah, they wouldn't make the gzera the mekachin. Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi learns the Gemara's Kasha was on the Loshon HaMishnah, not on the Din. Why did the Mishnah say certain things are aser and they're dibri hirshus, and other things are aser, they're semi mitzvahs, and other things are aser despite the fact that it's an absolute mitzvah? So the Gemara, so the Mishnah lists off a mekachin, a sayisha, didn't list it with the things that are a mitzvah. So Rashi learns the Gemara's kasha was should have been listed in the other section in the Mishnah. The Gemara said, sometimes it is a mitzvah, sometimes not a mitzvah. It depends whether yesh lo isha banim, ain lo isha banim. That's how Rashi learned. So the Maaseh Shaya with the Ramah was that there was a Yesema who was getting married on Friday. That was a common meaning for many centuries in Europe. People couldn't afford flesh all week long, and they were lucky if they could have flesh for Shabbos. So when they got married, they used to give a fleshig meal. because they had simcha lebebasa v'yayin. So they would have basa v'yayin at a wedding, and they would invite aniyim. So instead of having flesh on Friday and Leil Shabbos and on Chasana, so they have the Chasana on Friday, so you kill two birds with one stone. The Sudas Shabbos on Friday night would be the Sudas HaChasana. So the Maisa Shoy was that there was a Yisayma who was getting married on a Friday afternoon, and then there was some kind of a sichsuch about how much Nadan the girl's family is going to give to the boy, and they kept on postponing the chuppah till it was already way after the Shkia. So the Ramoa was afraid that if they're going to postpone the wedding till Matzoy Shabbat, they're going to observe the din in the Mishnah and the Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to get married, not allowed to be Mekadosh and Isha on Shabbos, the whole Shidduch may fall apart. So the Ramoa allowed them to get married. So the Ramoa in Shulchan Aruch writes, if it's Bein HaShmashes, because in the Maisu Shehoya, the Ramoa writes in the Tshuvas HaRama, he writes up the whole story, and he writes, it was only Bein HaShmashes, and he allowed them to get married because of the din in Shin Mem Beis, called Dovishem Mishim Shvus, LaGozra LaBein HaShmashes, if there's a Tzorach. So he felt there was a Tzorach, so he kept on saying, it's only Bein HaShmashes, we can get married. That's what he writes in Shulchan Aruch. Bein HaShmashes, you can get married. The truth of the matter is, you look in the Shilti Geborim on Beitza, on that daf, on Lamed Vav, on the base. I think it's the Shilti Geborim, quotes the whole story. And then he says, the Ramah said it was Bein HaShmashes, but all the people who attended the wedding, they all write in their Svarim. It was deep into the night, way after Bein HaShmashes. The Ramah was just trying to soften it. He said, it's only Bein HaShmashes you can get married. But he really held Lalocha like he writes here in Shulchan Aruch. That if you have a big Shas HaTchak, the Shas HaTchak, we say, G'day her aplenim is mechala b'Shas HaTchak. So he says, since this, he considered this a Shas HaTchak, because the whole Shidduch may fall apart. But that's why he allowed them to follow the Rabbeinu Tam Shita. That was one reason. Rabbeinu Tam is the one who read Pshat and Gemara, that if Ein lo isha banim, if it's a Makam Mitzvah, then he permitted to, then they never made the Gzeir. It's such a like the Rabbeinu Tam's idea. The very last Mishnah, Mashiach HaShabbos, and the last Omer in Mashiach HaShabbos has a din. You're not allowed to measure anything on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Medida is us. Why is Medida also? Zevishem Yichto. Also Zevishem Yichto. What if someone is doing Medida, the Makam Mitzvah, he wants to be Tovel in the Mikveh, someone is Tom, he has to go to the Mikveh, they want to measure whether the mikveh has Amma Alama Brum Gimalamas. The Gemara says Amma Alama Brum Gimalamas has the shear of Aboim Saw. So he wants to take a measuring rod and measure. So the Mishnah says that the Makam Mitzvah is Mutter. Or the Havia Satuma, they want to make sure Kohanim are permitted to go here, so they want to make sure that the Chaloin is less than a Tefach al Tefach, so it's not maybe a Satuma. So the Makam Mitzvah, you're allowed to submit Dida. Shalom b'makam mitzvah is asig, zevisham yichta, but b'makam mitzvah is mutter. So here, this Easter, emekachin, is also Hashem yichtoiv. So there's room to argue the point and say that just like medida is zevisham yichta, but b'makam mitzvah like gazru, because mitzvah, even though it's not as megan, is not megan as much as limanatora is like a Torah or like a torch, but mitzvah is like an air, like a little candle. But it's Megan a little bit, temporarily it's Megan. So it should be Megan that he shouldn't be misled to write it down. There's no Gzeir Hashem Yechtav there. So the Ramah says, Andinim Derabonim, we say, Kedai Heraplein List Mechala B'Shas HaKak. That's one reason that he says it's Mutter even after Tzeis HaKam. Then he gives another reason. We have it in this week's Sedra, Lo Yitamo. The Parsha Zamor starts off with the Din, that Kohanim are not permitted to be metami lemesim, to be metami to a dead sheretz, a dead mouse or something, that's permissible for a Kohen. But a Kohen is not allowed to be metami to a mace adam. So then the Pasuk says, unless it's one of the Zayin Krivim, if his sister died, so then lo yitama. So there's a machlok satanim regarding lo yitama, whether lo yitama is a reshus or lo yitama is a chayva. Rabbi Shmuel says lo yitama is a reshus, so if he wants to, he's permitted to attend a funeral. If he doesn't want, he doesn't have to. And the halacha was like Rabbi Akiva way before Rabbi Akiva. Gemara in Zvachim around Daf Kuf quotes that there was a Maaser Shehoya during this Zman HaBayis Sheni that a Kohen didn't want to be mitame when his wife passed away. Because the psak always was like Rabbi Akiva. This was a debate in a few generations, whether lo yitam is a reshus, lo yitam is a chayva. So we pass on like Rabbi Akiva, lo yitam is a chayva. What's the essence of that mitzvah lo yitama? So this is whole sugi and brachas on daf chof about kavod abrius. That's the mitzvah lo yitama to show even kavod amesim, kavod chayim, kavod achayim. But the pasuk says that by bnei yisrael there's even a din of kavod amesim. By mesei akum there's no din of kavod abrius. By a nochri who's alive, there is a din of kavod abrius. A nochri who is created b'tzelem alakim, you have to have respect for the fact that he's a human being b'tzelem alakim. But after he dies, he no longer has the tzelem alakim. So then there's no mitzvah of kvura. So the mitzvah, lo yitama, the Rambam, and the Rif, and the Goyim, and the Mechaber, paskan like the Chach Misvara, they paskan the first day of Shiva, when someone dies, so the Yom Avelos Yom Rishon is a din deraisa. The other 6 days of Shiva, the Rabbanah, Shloshim, Yud Beis Chodesh, everything is the Rabbanah. But Avelos Yom Rishon, the Mechaber paskan like the Goyim, like the Chach Misvara, the Avelos Yom Rishon is deraisa, provided that it's both Yom HaMisa VeHakvura. A person died on that day and he's being buried on the same day. Usually today it doesn't happen. Usually whenever the person dies, you postpone the funeral till at least one day later to get more people to attend. Years ago they didn't have telephones, they didn't have airplanes. So how are you gonna get more people to attend? The people in the city. You notify them. So many of the people would be buried. But today, there's always someone who lives out of town. Close relatives who live out of town. So they usually, almost all the funerals are always postponed. So today, it's very rare that you're going to have Yom HaMisa V'HaKvura. It's going to be the first day of Avelus. It's going to be Daraisa, going to the Mechaber. The Ashkenazim, there are more quotes, the Psak of the Ashkenazim, that even Avelus and Mishan, even if it is Yom HaMisa V'HaKvura, it's only the Rabbanim. But even according to the Sfardim, you rarely have it. So that pasuk, if you hold that Avelus Yom Rishon is Daraisa, what do you mean Daraisa? Where is the pasuk? Which mitzvah is it? So the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, it's the mitzvah of Lo Yitama. Lo Yitama means you're mechuyev to be matan v'lemeis. That's the mitzvah of Avelus. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tavel Kamach Amurihi Mitzvos Avelus Shenitches Miponeho Isa Tumas Koyhanim. That's a big machlokes Rashi and Tosis for the din that the Kohen is metamit to the seven relatives to the Zayin Kreidim. Is that a pchina of Hutra or the Chuya? The Rashi in Bracha says that it must be Hutra. It can't say that Kavar Abrias is Doicha the Isra of Tumas Kohanim, because the Gemara says there that Kavar Abrias is only Doicha and Isra the Rabbanim. Never doicha nisa deraisa. It can be doicha a mitzvah deraisa. A shev al tase. Instead of doing the mitzvah, so Kavod Abrius tell you don't do the mitzvah. But it's never doicha nisa deraisa. You walk across the pasuk and from Mishle, and chokhma venetz and tulim negar Hashem means you're not allowed to consider Kavod Abrius if it's going to be in violation of a nisa deraisa. So Rashi's opinion is, because Rashi was bothered with the question of Kavod Abrius is never doicha nisa deraisa, so how come the Kohen is permitted to be metame to the Zayin Kreidim? Isn't that an example of Kavod Abrius? Lo yitama is the mitzvah of Kavod Abrius is doicha nisa deraisa. The Rashi answers that is hutra. If not, that is doicha nisa hutra. But Tosis and the Rambam disagree. The Rambam has a halacha based on this. He says it's Dukhuya, not Hutra. Rambam writes a din. The Kohen is permitted and obligated to be Metami to the seven relatives. What if there are two Mesim in the funeral home? So the Kohen wants to go 10 o'clock in the morning is the funeral of his relative. And then there's another Mace and the funeral is going to be at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. So the Rambam says he's not permitted if the din, the Rambam sort of implies, if the din would have been like Rashi, that Tumas Mace, Zayin Kroivim is Hutra, then it would have been Mutter, even though there's another Mace. But because it's only Dukhuya, so it's not, we don't fully understand why does it depend Hutra and Chuy, but that's what the Rambam writes. So the Rambam writes that it's Dukhuya, same as Tosis. Our Tosis is bothered with Rashi's Kasha. So how is Kavod Abrius Decha Nisa Deraisa? Usually Kavod Abrius is only Decha Nisa Derabon, it's not Decha Nisa Deraisa. So Tosis answers based on a Sugya in the beginning of Yevamos, Since the Isur of Tumas Kohanim is an Isur Shein Shove Bakol, only applies to Kohanim, it doesn't apply to non-Kohanim. So it's a weaker Isur, it's not as strong as an Isur that is Shove Bakol. So just like Ein Eser Dechal Eser, the Essay, usually the Klal is Eser Dechal Eser, but Essay is not Dechal Eser, the Essay. But if the Lo Eser, the Essay is Ein Shove Bakol, then an Essay is Dechal. So here too, Kavar Abiyas is never doicha, and Isa deraisa if it's Shava Bakol. But if the Isa Tumas Kohanim is a lab shayna Shava Bakol, only applies to Kohanim, doesn't apply to Levim and Yisraelim, so then Kavar Abiyas is doicha. So this mitzvah, lo yitamo, this is the mitzvah of Kavar Abiyas. So the din usually is, there are a lot of klolim. One of the klolim is the Kavar Abiyas is doicha din of the Rabbanim. Now the klal kavar abis is deicha a mitzvah deraisa. A third klal kavar abis is deicha in mamayna. Okay, mamayna, not in isura. Shavus aveda kavar abis is deicha. So kamein lefi chvayda. So kavar abis is deicha. There's a machlokes of rishonim, but the kavar abis is deicha in isur deraisa. If the person is violating the isur deraisa, only violating b'shege, he doesn't. That's machlokes the Rosh and the Rambam. That shaila comes up every so often. So the Ramah writes over here in Shulchan Aruch, in the Tshuva he claims that it was Bein Hashmashas. And the people who were present said that wasn't really true. It was deep into the night, way after Tzeis HaTocharon. And the real reason why he was Mekel was because Kedai HaRabbein HaTam Lismachol HaBushas HaTchak, that we spoke about last week. We said last week that according to the Mishkan as Yankiv, he wouldn't agree with this Ramah. Mishkan Zanku says the only time we say kidai, the only time we apply the klal to kidai here applying this mechala b'shas hadchak is if there's a machlekes yochid verabdim, and it's an instance where you can apply the rule of elu elu diri elikim chayim. So then we say kidai applying this mechala b'shas hadchak. It's a suffik called the who, because of elu elu diri elikim chayim. So suffik called the who, there's a klal suffik the rabbanu lekula. But Savigar Rabban Lekula means if it's 50-50. Here it's nowhere near 50-50. The Rova of the Poskim don't agree with the Rabbein Tavir. So if it would have been a case, that was the difficulty. If it would have been a case where you have the right to say, Eilevi Eiledim Elekim Chayim, so then you can say, Kedai Rabbein Tam, this Mechol B'Shas V'Apchak. That's what the Ramah says. But the Mishnah Zayanka would probably not agree with the Ramah. Because here it's a Machlekes, it's not a Machlekes, Ali B'Din Avshai, what's the din? It's machlokes. How do you read the words in the Gemara? In the Gemara, in Beit Salam, in the Vav on the base, asks the kasha, isn't it a mitzvah? So what was the kasha? So Rashi learns the kasha was on the wording in the Mishnah. It wasn't a kasha on the din. Why did the Mishnah put the din of emekachim in that section in the Mishnah? It should have been in the last section. That they made gzera derabbanan, gzera shenichtav, even in the situation where there's a mitzvah. The Gemara answers, the Lashon of the Mishnah is not difficult. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the Kiddushin is not a mitzvah. He already has five wives. This is wife number six. He has already 20 children. And this is the sixth wife. So there's no Malka mitzvah over here. That's how Rashi learns. Rabbeinu Tam interprets, translates the words of the Gemara differently. The Gemara was asking Akasha on the Halacha. Why is the Halacha so? The Gemara answers the Halacha is not so. That the Malka mitzvah taket is mutter to get married on Shabbos. So here, whenever there's a machloikis, Aliba dechat bandama. A machlokes is how do you translate the words in the Gemara? So one of them is right, one of them is wrong. The Gemara, he can't say Eilu v'Eilu. Eilu v'Eilu makes sense. Like the Ritva we said over last week, the Ritva in Erev and Yudgim Amvei says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him the din of matzitzis and tefillin, Shabbos and Kashrus, so Moshe Rabbeinu asked, what's the din in this case? Rabban Shalom said, Osir. What's the din in this case? Mutter. What's the din in this case? Rabban Shalom said, that's a gray area of halacha. And it depends on your perspective, how you understand Kol HaTorah Kula. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, is going to leave it up to the discretion of the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Davador to determine, based on their perspective of Kol HaTorah Kula, whether the elements of Isa outweigh the elements of Heter, or the elements of Heter outweigh the elements of Isa. So that's only Shaykh to say, on a Din Daraisa, when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's a great area of Halacha, and so on. But here it's a Gemara, and it's a Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and everybody else. How do you translate the words of the Gemara? You can't say Eilu v'Eilu. What the Chachmei HaGemara meant, it's a gray area. Chachmei HaGemara, when they wrote the Kasha, they meant either one pshat or the other pshat. They didn't mean both pshat. So the Rama obviously doesn't agree with the Mishkan HaSyayik. According to the Mishkan HaSyayik, it's not a good case. He really shouldn't say the Daihara Plani is Mahola Bishas HaKad. But the Rama had another Tzad Lahakli. First of all, he said Bein HaShmashas is Mutter, and he kept on saying, it's only Bein HaShmashas. But the people knew it wasn't true. The Rama knew it wasn't true also. They said another two Heter. The one Heter was Kedai Rabbi Natan this Mahola Bishas HaKad. He considered it Shas HaKad because the Chasim made the whole Shidduch may fall apart. And the girl was a Yisayma, so that he felt that's Shas HaTrak. Then he says another reason, Kavod Abrius is Deiche, Kavod Abrius is Deiche, Dinim Derabbanon. There's a Gzera Derabbanon, not allowed to be Mekadosh and Isha on Shabbos, but it'll be such an embarrassment that the whole Shiddah falls apart. That's what the Rama says. Gam, another consideration, Gidorul Kavod Abrius. Because it'll be a big embarrassment. It'll be a big busha. That's what he writes. Yeah. The poskim sometimes write. The poskim sometimes write like this. By a case of Maim Shein La Himself, a woman is married, her husband disappeared. Husband is not found. Then we find a dead body, a male dead body. So then you try to identify whether that's her husband or not. So if we're convinced in our heart that the husband is probably dead, let's say he fell into the river and we didn't retrieve the body till way later. Hmm. Or we're not sure, we never retrieved the body. Maim Shema, we never retrieved the body. But we know whoever falls into this river is gonna drown. We were there for hours searching for the body. It's obvious that he's dead. So we mentioned, I think, last more in the end of Yevamos, tells the story, Mr. Chosa, Chesa Machalach. Chosa fell into a Maim Shela himself, fell into a river. They didn't retrieve the body, so they couldn't be Mata the Aguna. That's a Gzera the Rabbanim. The Atara, we know he's dead. You know and I know, we all know that he's dead. But with the Rabbanim, they made a Gzera. So one of the Amorim said, O Elakim, he swears, B'Shem Hashem, Ochluhu Kavre L'Chosa. The fish ate up the poor man, Mr. Chosa. So Rabbi Leger on the side of the Gemara, Negil Yanashas, his Bad quotes Akasha from the Mordechai, from the Bali Atesis, from the Mordechai was the later Bali Atesis. Mordechai and the Rosh Nagos, Maimini with Talmidim of the Maram Rutenberg, who in turn was a Talmud of Dar Zarua, was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudis Ilion. That was all the Masorah of the Bali Atesis. So he quotes Akasha, how could the Amorah take a Shvu Halakim, Shvu B'Shem Hashem, that the fish ate up poor Mr. Chosa, if we don't allow her, we don't allow the Amona to remarry, obviously we're not so convinced that he died. So how does he take a Shvu Chlu Kavri L'Chosa? Alakim, Achru. So the Mordechai answers, no, you know, I know, we all know that he's dead. On the level of the Raisa, we're convinced that he's dead. Whoever drowns over there is such a far-fetched Chumrah. In fact, if you Achrayim him right, the whole Chumrah of Maim Shein La himself, they never meant to Asa the woman. They meant that it should take a little longer till you cover up with a hefner. Yeah. Because we assume if you have trei ruby, if it's only one raif, let's say the husband was on an airplane exploded, there was a bomb, airplane exploded, and then the airplane was over the ocean, and then it sank in the ocean and we never retrieved the body. So you have a trei ruby over there. One raif is whenever an airplane explodes, the raif is that all the people get killed right away. And even Afilin Tensilaima, that the husband survived the explosion, but then when it crashes into the ocean, then he drowned. Either he got killed by the explosion, got killed. So that's the Psak HaMekubal. If it's Kochanan, was Machrila. Chaim Valojan, a Paschal like that, the Mishkan HaSyayik writes, when he was a teenager, learning in Valojan, they had such a case of Maim Shein La Himself. What happened was, the husband was walking on a bridge. The husband was walking across the bridge, and the bridge was in the winter time, and the river below was all iced up. A lot of times there's so much ice, an automobile can drive on the ice. A tractor can go on the ice, and it won't break in. So the husband slipped on the bridge, and he fell his head first. He had a concussion. It was a stories high, the bridge, and he fell with his head first on the ice, and then he cracked a hole in the ice, and the body appeared under the ice. So Chaim Valojan was Mekel in this case, because you have a trei ruby. One raiva is he probably got killed when his head crashed on the ice. It was hard ice. And I feel in Tim Salama that didn't kill him. The concussion didn't kill him. But then he drowned because the body went under, made a hole in the ice and went under the ice and you couldn't retrieve the body. So he probably drowned. So whenever you have Trey Ruby, you make him. And even if the Sam Achrayim right, the whole idea of Maim Shein Hamsof, they didn't mean to answer the woman. They meant it should take a little longer until you come up with an explanation why it's Trey Ruby. And Trey Ruby, there's room to be made. In fact, some of the Achrayim write, I think there are some Echaz like this. He writes, at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Roman persecution, they were locking Jewish men up in prison and they were starving to death. And they were killing Jews right and left. They were murdering a lot of Jews. And there were a lot of Agunas at that time. And if they would have an Eid Echad to be made on Aguna, we'd be happy. To have two Eidim, that was very difficult. The Ikra didn't really need two Eidim to be Matan Aguna, so that should be Arab. So if you have one Eid Echad, that was very high. Eid Echad, they would be thrilled. So that was a big debate in the days of the Tanoim. Can you be Mekel at the Ragunas to allow the Amona to remarry based on Eid Echad? Rabbi Kiva was in prison at that time. The Romans put him in prison because he was teaching Torah Barabim. And then they had other Tanoim would walk by the prison window and talk and learning with Rabbi Kiva in code. If the Romans guards would realize that they're talking about religion, they wouldn't allow, but they didn't realize it was religion because they were talking secret in code. So the Tana said over to the other Tanoim that the man in prison, that's Rabbi Kiva, man in prison told me that was a Psak HaMakubal from the earlier generation. You can be Mekel on Eid Echad by Aguna. Shemigunak, Berabon, the Gemara has a whole sugya. What's the reason why? But they were Mekel. So the Asamech explains based on Gemara's, a very beautiful explanation. People shouldn't think that the issue of Eishes Ish is a light matter, that we're Mekel. Eid Echad is good. Everybody knows that Dov Shebi Evi should really need two Eidim. How come all of a sudden you're Mekel? So they're afraid that people will get the mistaken impression that you can be mizalzel, you can treat it very lightly, the issue of loisina. So that's why they felt they have to introduce some kind of a chumrah to offset that mistaken impression from the heter eid echad by Meis Baila. So they introduced the chumrah maim shein hamsof, but really didn't mean to ask for the woman. They meant it should take a month, instead of being mekel 1, 2, 3, it should take a month or two till they come up with kulas. Like in the World Trade Center, a lot of Jewish men were killed, and it was mamish like Maim Shein Lam, so there was very little evidence, and they were mekel, they were matter all of the agunas. They came up, they had a heter aguna for each one of them. And the Israeli wars in recent years, unfortunately, a lot of soldiers were killed. So in all the cases, they always came up. They say Chacham Avadia needed surgery, so he didn't go for the surgery until he wrote a tshuva to be Mako on the last one of the Agunas. He was afraid in case he won't survive the surgery, so who's going to be Mata the Agunas? So he wrote Shulis on all the Agunas. And the other Gedalim, Rabbi Gorin, was also Mekel a lot on Agunas. They were all Mekel on all the Agunas. By Maim Shein himself, you're dealing with the Chumrah de Rabbanon, and the Yosemech and several other Achraim say they never even meant it to be a Chumrah Lamais. They meant it should take a little longer till you come up with a kula. So there, there's room. The Achrayim have an idea. Since it's a big shas hatrak, the woman is going to be an aguna for the rest of her life. So if you have a machlekes, sometimes we will say kedai haraplena this machol b'shas hatrak, because you're talking about a din de rabbanon on the level of the raisa. You know, I know, we all know the husband is dead. The amora took a shvu halakin achlu kavri lachasa. The fish ate up the poor man, Mr. Chasa. How did he take a shvuah? Well, we all know that he died. It's clear and obvious. It's a ruba that he died. It's only a chumrah mid rabbanon. So if you're dealing with a chumrah mid rabbanon, and the chumrah is going to make her life miserable, a young girl, she just got married. Her husband is only 19 years old, 20 years old. They didn't have a chance to have any children yet. So she's going to, and she'll be an aguna. Let's say the husband's brother lives somewhere else. Can't get a chalitza, no. Let's say we won't know whether the husband is alive or dead. Maybe he's still alive, so she'll be stuck for the rest of her life. So there, there's room to be makel to say kedaihu deshitas hayachalis machala b'shas hapchat. Why? Because elu v'elu divilekim chayim. So the Ranan Kiddushin we said last, Ranan Kiddushin says it's a Sofik Koldahu, not a real Sofik. The real Sofik is 50-50. Here it's not even close to 50-50. It's only a Sofik Koldahu. So as Feka the Rabbanu, the Kula really applies only if it's 50-50. And we don't know how, we don't know what the percentages are. So as Feka the Rabbanu, the Kula. But if it's a big Shas HaKak, then with a little stretch, we treat it as a Sveik of the Rabban, there's room to make. Now, some rabbis who are not too learned, so they think, even in the case of an Aguna, the husband doesn't want to give her a get. But we know the husband is alive. We know the husband is alive and kicking, and he's kicking his wife. He doesn't want to give her a get. So that's not an Aguna where you know and I know, we all know that she's permitted to remarry Menatoira. So the husband is alive and doesn't want to give a get. So it's taka bitter rachmanis on her, but you can't say kedai her aplan of this b'chol b'shas atchak. That's a real deraisa. That's not a din derabbanan. By din derabbanan, you start off sveka derabbanan lekula. If it's 50-50, you have a right to be mekel. And if it's not 50-50, you're not supposed to be mekel. But if it's a big shas atchak, then we say kedai her aplan of this b'chol b'shas atchak. To treat it like a sveka derabbanan lekula. But if it's an issue deraisa, a woman whose husband doesn't want to give her a get, that's an aguna deraisa. That's not an aguna derabbanan. So you can't apply the klal kedai her aplanin this machala b'shas hadchak over there. They're mixing up one aguna with the other. One is aguna deraisa, one is an aguna derabbanan. Yeah, this bezdin that they had, I hope it's falling apart already. There were mata many women that they don't have to, they're allowed to remarry without a get from the husband. The husband's alive and kicking. Because they found some obscure shita that was dead wrong, that you don't say at all, Eilu v'yadu divikim chayim. You can't rely on that. You can't say, Kedai rab plenilis mechola b'shas hadchak, if you're dealing with a din deraisa. That's the Shach and Yeridea writes like that. And Roy b'achreinim, Ruba d'ruba of d'achreinim write like that. You don't apply Kedai rab plenilis mechola b'shas hadchak, the case is deraisa. All the cases in the Gemara, cases the Rabban. You have in Masech HaShabbos, the Gemara has it by Muktzeh. And you have it in the first Mishnah in Brochus, you have it Kedai Rab Gamlilis Mechol Meshas Hadchak regarding the Gzeira de Rabbanon that you can't say Bichas Kriyashma after Chatzais Alayla. That's a Din de Rabbanon, the whole Bichas Kriyashma. Then you have it in the first Sukh in Nida, the Din of Tumas Meisleis, when a woman becomes Nida. So she's whatever Kochim and Taras she was, whatever Kochim and Truma she was dealing with in the last 24 hours, they go back la mafreh tuma la mafreh. So the Gemara is in the Farish. Tuma la mafreh is only a chumra mid rabbanon, and it doesn't apply to chulin. Only applies to truma v'kachim. But since it's only a din rabbanon, if there's a big hefsid merube, there were a lot of kachim, a lot of truma, a lot of kachim, then we would be makel not to hold tuma meisleis, not to be machma all the way back 24 hours before. But the other tanoim disagree. Yeah, that's about this Ramo, about Kedai Rabbi Natan, this Mechala B'Shas HaPchat. These Gzeiros de Rabbanon, the Gzeiros de Rabbanon of, let's say, of Mekach HaMemka, the Gzeiros Shem HaYichtov, we said many times there are malocha derai, there are malochas derai, so then there are malochas derabbanon, then there are gzeiros derabbanon, three different levels. All the dinim derabbanon, they're all gzeiros. It's all the chachamim were given authority based on the concluding pasuk in Parshas Achaimos, Ushmatem es mishmati levilti asas b'chakos ha-toivos ha-ele. So the Gemara understood in Yevamos on Daf Chafal of Ushmatem es mishmati, usu mishmeres le mishmati. That's the opening mishnah in Pirkei Avos. You have to make a siyog. So the Chacham have the right to make gzeres rabbanon. And Hilchos Shabbos they made two kinds of gzeres. Sometimes they declared something as a malacha mid rabbanon, and sometimes they declared that it's a gzeres. Let's say you're not allowed to swallow a pill on Shabbos. Gzeres shem yishachik some money. You're going to say whoever swallows a pill is in violation of tochein. He didn't do any tochein. You're not allowed to climb on a tree. Gzeirish amiyachdel zmorah. It may break off a branch. They say whoever climbs on trees is in violation of kotzer. But he didn't do any kotzer. It's a gzeirish emma. So it's only a gzer. So gzeres are not as chomer as a malachim midrabanan, but in a certain sense they're sometimes more chomer. Take for example, this we spoke about on different occasions. In order to violate an isa malacha, whether malacha derais or malacha rabbanan, you have to have a kumli asay. There's no malacha, you can't violate a malacha b'shei b'al tasa. But gzeris can sometimes be violated b'shei b'al tasa. Take for example, shahiyah. I leave raw food on the fire on Erev Shabbos and I don't have a blech. So that's an isa of shahiyah. Gzeris shem yechata b'gecholim. He may poke around in the coals, in which case it will be a violation of mechaba umavir. Some of the coals that were red before, if he pokes around someone, it may become black. That's mechabe. Some of the coals that were black may turn into red. That's called mavir. So that's shem yechata b'gecholim, will be a violation of mechabe umavir. So when does the person violate the isa? When he puts the food on top of the fire an hour before shkia on Erev Shabbos? No, he didn't violate anything yet. If someone takes it off of the fire, turns out before Shabbos starts, turns out he didn't violate Shehiyah. He violates Shehiyah b'shei v'al tasa. When Shabbos enters and his pot is on the fire and there is no blech, so then he's in violation of Havorah. But he's totally passive at that time. When he put the pot on an hour before the Shkiyah, he didn't violate Shehiyah yet. When Shabbos enters, he shaved v'al tasa. The answer is, Gzeiris can be violated even b'shei v'al tasa. When the person is going to have his food on the fire cooking and he didn't poke in the fire, he didn't do mechaba mabah. So what did he do? You can't say whoever violates Shia is in violation of the malacha mechaba mabah. But he didn't do mechaba mabah. The answer is, it's gzeiris the rabban. So gzeiris can be sometimes violated the shei v'al tasa, depending on how the chachamim formulated the gzeiris. So Shia was formulated, the nusach gzeiris was such. Not allowed to leave your food on the fire without a blech. And if you did, when Shabbos enters, you violate Shia b'shei v'al tasa. So you have to go investigate every, on the level of deraisa, you're talking about a malacha deraisa, on the level of rabbanan, you're talking about a malacha derabbanan, can only violate a malacha b'kum b'yasei. That's the Gemara in the end of Shabbos, that's a Rashi and Sanhedrin, many mekaris to that. But here we're talking about gzeris, a gzeris can sometimes be violated b'shei v'al tasa. So that's a famous dispute between Rabbi Kiveger and many other poskim. When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, and the Balabatim request of the rabbi, he should sell a chametz on their behalf. So he can't sell a chametz on Shabbos morning. Erev Pesach is Shabbos. Can't sell a chametz on Shabbos. It's Mekach HaMemka on Shabbos. You're not allowed to sell. So the rabbi will sell a chametz on the day before Erev Pesach. So when he sells the chametz, what does he do? He makes kinyonim. Our practice is he makes six kinyonim because it's a suffix which kinyon works and which kinyon doesn't work. So the rabbi makes kinyonim with the nochri on Friday, and he says, I want the kinyon to take effect on Shabbos morning at 11 o'clock in the morning when everybody will finish eating their chametz. Whatever chametz will be left over, I want to sell you to you, to the nochri. They're going to eat. The rabbi sells the chametz on Friday morning. That's the day before Erev Pesach. He sells at the time he usually sells the chametz, 11 o'clock, the day before Erev Pesach. But he says, I want the kinyon to take effect tomorrow morning on Shabbos morning. So Rabbi Kiveger says you're not allowed to do that because the Issa Mekach HaMemcha is Gzeira Shema Yichtov. So since it's Gzeira, it can be violated even Mishay Bal Tasa. So even though on Shabbos proper he's not lifting a finger, he went to shul and he's davening and he's home and he's eating and whatever, he's not involved at all in making any kinyon. He's totally passive as far as the kinyon is concerned. Not doing. The rabbi is not actively engaged in doing the kinyon. He did all the kumbia says on Friday, but Rabbi Kiveger thinks that the gzeira of Mecca Chememke can be violated b'shei v'al tasa. So he thinks he's not allowed to sell a chomet. Whenever Erev Pesach Holi is b'Shabbos, the rabbi has to say, I hereby sell all the chomets to the nochri as of now. The kinya should be chal on Friday morning on all the chomets, whatever will be left over on Shabbos morning at 11 o'clock, it should be Gloy Milsalam Afreya that I'm selling all of that chametz now. Now we don't know which chalas they're going to eat, what they're going to eat, how much they're going to eat. So the rabbi sells, he says, on Erev Pesach, I'm selling all the chametz to the Nochri right now. Kenya should be chal taken from Yad. Which chametz is he selling, which is not selling? Whatever will be left over tomorrow. So the other poskim are not happy, about Rova poskim are not happy with Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Kevega's idea, because that's a violation of the din of Ein Breira. He wants the kinyan to be chal on the chametz and it's Ein Mavura. He wants the kinyan to be chal on Friday morning, the day before Erev Pesach, but we don't know on what chametz. So it's only going to become Mavura tomorrow morning, Shabbos morning, at 11 o'clock in the morning, it'll become this barrier on which chametz the kinyan was chal yesterday. So that's a klal. We paskin b'negiah to dinim deraisa, Ein Breira. It's a din deraisa. So that's a big problem. So most of the poskim disagree with Rabbi Kevega, and they say, no, it's possible to have a gzera which can be violated b'shevi al tasa. It all depends how the chachamim worded the gzera. But they claim that pashtus is that this gzera, mekach hamemkav, is only formulated, he can only violate it in such a fashion if you do a maisa kinyan on Shabbos. But if the maisa kinyan is done on Erev Shabbos, this is Shana, let's say, a person, you can purchase things online. You can buy and sell shares in corporations online. So let's say a person says, he puts in the information online, and he says, I want to sell my shares, I want to buy shares. On Shabbos morning at 11 o'clock in the morning, I want to buy shares, I want to sell shares. So he doesn't lift a finger on Shabbos. He's in shul, he's eating in someone's home, whatever. He sings miris. He's not involved at all. But the kinyan of the shares is chal on Shabbos. So is that permissible or not? See, years ago they didn't have shares in the corporation, so the shaila only came up once every couple of years. But our Pesach chal is b'Shabbos, and the rabbi is selling the chametz, is he allowed to sell it on Friday in such a way that the kinyan to postpone the chalois till later? He makes the maisi kinyan today, and he wants the chalois kinyan to take effect on Shabbos morning. Now it's possible to do it every week, not just on Erev Pesach Chol Yis B'Shabbos. You want to buy or sell shares in a corporation, or you want to buy or sell commodities on online, so you can place an order to buy or to sell on Shabbos morning. So according to Rabbi Kevega, that's included in the Gzeret Rabbanon Shem Yichto. According to most of the Poskim, that would be Mutter. We spoke last week a little bit about this. Taisus claims that there is a Tosefta on the margin on the side of the Taisus. They wrote down, we don't have this in our Tosefta, in our edition. But Taisus quotes a Tosefta at the end of Beitza, and that Mishnah Lam involved on the base, but it says you're not allowed to be Mekadosh Anisha, you're not allowed to be Magdosh and Korban on Shabbos. So it said, Taisus quotes a Tosefta, you're not allowed to be Megarish Anisha either. I, but the Gemara in Gittin, that finds Zayin on the base, tells a story that once a man, Rav Paskin, the man should be Megarish's wife on Shabbos. He was a Shchid Meira. So Taisus said, B'Shchid Meira Hikilu. Why? So this, when Taisus has this idea, in two different Mesichtas, they give a different B or why. So Taisus there in Gittin says, the reason why when Mekel, it means that the husband is a Shchid Meira. He's holding by the end, and he's going to, the Gemara says, he's going to be very aggravated if his, we have a din derish chimera kiksuva mechem surin domi. When a man leaves instructions, after I die, I want my assets or some of my assets to go to Pliny instead of going in the normal route of Yerusha, most of the money is going to go to Yerusha to the relatives. Some of the money is going to go to friends of his or whatever. So that's a din midirabon. Derish chimera kiksuva mechem surin domi. Even if you don't make any kinyan, it's valid. Why? Because we have to tell the Shemira, don't get aggravated. Whatever you want, it's going to be done. There's a takana, there are bonon hefker, there's no hefker. Whatever you say now is binding, and that's all. It's going to work. So he won't get aggravated. So Taisus in Gittin writes, we permit the husband who's a Shemira to be Megarish's wife on Shabbos, because if we won't allow it, he may get so aggravated that his wife is going to become an aguna, it may hasten his death. He may die from aggravation, he may die earlier. So Mishum Niguna Kila Birabonan by Ashchid Mira, why? Shaloti Torev Daito. We're afraid that he may, because of the aggravation, he may die sooner. Taisus in Baba Basra, when they talk about the same topic, Taisus writes a different Hezbo, why? Mishum Niguna Kila Birabonan. The woman will be an Aguna for the rest of her life. So that's like a Choyloshein Basakona. So Mamakam Choyloshein Basakona. The Gemara has a lot of heterim. When we started Hilchas Shabbos, we started with that sentence, Shin Chav Ches. what is pikuach nefesh doichem, what are the dinim for chayv l'shem b'sakana, what are the dinim for bari with a mechesh b'yalma. So the din was that for chayv l'shem b'sakana, chayv l'shem b'sakana means he has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. It means his chayv kol gufo, he has such aches and pains, he can't concentrate, and he can't walk around, he has to lay in bed the whole time, or let's say a baby wants his bottle. A little baby wants a bottle. So if the baby, normally the baby plays with his toys, plays with his brothers and sisters. If he wants his bottle, he's going to scream his head off. The baby is not sick, but he has a condition, babyhood, that prevents him from functioning normally. If he's going to get, he wants to have his bottle, he's going to scream his head off. So that's considered a chayv l'shem b'sakana. He don't have to be a chayv l'shem b'sakana. It means one who has, a person that has a condition that prevents them from functioning normally, and if you violate Gzeirah de Rabbanan, the fellow will be able to function normally. So Amir Eliyakim is mutter to warm up the bottle for the baby. You're going to give him a cold bottle, he's not going to like it. I have to warm it up. So we allow Amir Eliyakim, and we allow a whole bunch of coolers. So the Tara Shavit, the thing they all have in common, all the coolers that were Mekalan, they're all Gzeirah de Rabbanan. They're different opinions, and the Shulchan Aruch says, be paskin like the Ramban. The four opinions in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, Halachi Kedea Hashlishis. Kedea Hashlishis is the Ramban in the Sefer Torah Sa'odim. That we're Mekalan all Gzeiris the Rabban, but we're not Mekalan Malochas the Rabban. So if his wife is going to be an Aguna for the rest of her life, he's not going to give her a get, and she's going to need Chalitza, and his brother lives behind the Iron Curtain, never be able to give Chalitza. The brother's a Meshumid, and he's not going to give Chalitza, whatever. I'm sure that he's not going to do the chalitza, so the wife is going to be living a life of misery for the next 60 years. She won't be able to, she's only 20 years old, going to live another 60 years. She'll be miserable. She won't be able to, she has no husband. The husband is going to die any minute now, and then she won't be able to get chalitza. So because she's going to be a chodesh em b'sakana, won't be able to function normally. No one is sick, but it has the same din as a chodesh em b'sakana. Person has a condition of digun, that prevents them from functioning normally. So then when Mekalan all Gzeiras the Rabbon. So that's why even though there's a Gzeira, according to Tosis, there is a Gzeira not to be Mekadosh, not to be Megarish. Tosis claims it's such a Tosefta, not to give a get on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but Mishum Yiguna Kila Berabbonon, because that's like a Chol Hashem B'Sakon. Yeah, the Mishnah has this, Tosis says it's such a Tosefta, not to give a get, not to be Mekadosh and Isha. That does say in the Mishnah, not allowed to get married. Not to be Mekadosh and Isha. What if the person, in the days of the Gemara, there used to be a long pause in between Eris and the Nisuin. Eris and his Kiddushin, give a ring and say, Harei Mekadosh, so the girl is an Eishes Ish. And then they would wait a year or so until they would have Nisuin. So the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to do Eris on Shabbos. What about Nisuin? So Nisuin also you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. It's also considered like a Kenyan. Also like Mekach HaMamcha, Gzeirish HaMayichtav. You're not allowed to do Nisuin. But we, it's already many centuries since the days of the Gaonim, so we don't have such a long pause. We have 2 minutes. We have the Erisin, and then the rabbi, somebody reads the Ksuba. Then right away, after Kriyas HaKsuba, then you have the Nisuin. They're standing under the canopy. And then you have the Yichud. So you have the canopy. One sheet is the standing under the Chuppah, is the Nisuin. One sheet is the Badekin is the Nisun, one sheet is the Yichud is the Nisun. We already have, so we do the Erisin with the Nisun, B'chol, we don't do on Shabbos. Shaila is Tosfos, Shulchan Aruch quotes this from Tosfos. What if someone is marrying a woman who was previously married? She's an Almana, or she's a Grusha. She was married a long time ago. So then Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi, that Chuppah is not Kaina, standing under the canopy, is not kaina nisuin by an almana. The only way to make nisuin is through bia. So, even though they got married on Erev Shabbos, on Thursday or Wednesday, if the bia rishon is going to be on Shabbos, that would be a violation of mekach hamemka, because that's clinching the nisuin, because the standing under the chuppah wasn't kaina. So the post can find that very tzatesis in human. They quote such a Yerushalm. So they find it very hard to understand why is Chuppah not kind of by an Almana? Why shouldn't it be kind of Avmana? The Gemara has a discussion, and there'd be a famous discussion beginning of Ksubas. A couple got married, a young couple got married, they had a heiress in the Nisuin. He was kind of everything, not an Avmana, a Psula. And then he wants to have Bir Rishayin on Shabbos. So Bir Rishayin is often going to be Dam Besulim. So Dam causing bleeding is a Malacha of Chavala, some Malacha or another, but it's clearly a Malacha deraisa of Chavala. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. Is it a Dabba Sheni Miskavin? Is it a Psikreshe? Or maybe it's a Malacha Shem Svicha Lugufa? Is it Mutter Asa? Bottom line, we paskin, Bir Rishayin is Mutter. Bir Rishayin is Mutter, even though there was an issue of a Malacha of Chavala, we say it's Mutter. If the woman is an Amana, it's not going to be Bir Rishayin. She already has children from the first marriage. She's 75 years old already. The husband died. Husband was 85 and she's 75. So she's remarrying now. So there's not going to be any Dam Besulim. So over here, it should be Zecha Mutter to do the Bir Rishayin on Shabbos. It says no. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Taisus, no. Since the chuppah was not kaina, so the Bir Rishayin is going to be the kinyan, so you're not permitted to do kiddushin, emekachin on Shabbos, you're not permitted to do nisuin. So if she's a psula, you already were kaina when they stood under the chuppah, but if it's an amana, then the chuppah is not kaina. Why in the world is the chuppah not kaina by an amana? It's a mystery, nobody knows. So they quote from Rav Chaim Volozhin that he sent a letter to one of his contemporaries, arguing with him. So the other Talmud Chacham suggested that by a besula, the minig always was that they got married outside in the street, tachas kippus or akiyat, and invoked the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham Avinu, habet ha-shamayim ha-svar kochavim metuch ha-lispo kol yezarecha. So if a girl gets married at a young age, a girl is 20 years old, and she gets married, so we want to invoke the blessing she should have. We say a bracha when the Rabbanim go to the Badekin. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, the minig is, Rabbanim say the bracha, achasena atayili alfei revava. Should have a lot of children, should have a big family. But if the woman is 75 years old and she's remarrying, so you're not invoking any, she's not planning on having any more children. So this contemporary Rav Chaim Volozhiner understood that the Rishalmi means if the woman is an almana zikena, and she's not going to get married tachas kippus or rikia, then she's going to get married inside the home. No reason to get married outside. So she's going to get married inside. So if you get married inside, then the chuppah is not kainah. That's the difference. If you get married outside tachas kippus or rikia, then the chuppah is kainah. If you're married inside, then the chuppah is not kainah. So Chaim Volozhiner makes fun of that. And he says, I don't see why this should make a difference whether the chuppah is inside or outside. The chuppah should be kaina, even if it's inside. So that there is room to understand. Rav Chaim Volozhiner didn't like it, but we can understand it. There's a din, there are other cases like this in the Aholos, Mishnayos Aholos. If you have a big room with a wall around it, and then you have a chuppah in the middle of the room, the whole idea of a chuppah, standing under the canopy, constitutes nisuin. What is nisuin? The difference between erisin and nisuin. And Arusa is an Eishas Ish, lo bebeis habal, and the Nesua is an Eishas Ish, who is bebeis habal. So how do you make Nisun? You do Hachnosa l'Rishuso. How do you do Hachnosa l'Rishuso? So they're different opinions. So some say, walking under the canopy, because the canopy is at Tzuras HaPesach, four poles, and the cloth goes on top from one pole to the second, to the third, to the fourth, back to the first. So it's at Tzuras HaPesach. You don't really need the cloth in the middle. You don't really need the cloth. The ikar is not so much the cloth in the middle. The ikar is it's like an erev. Atzuras haPesach, kana mikam, kana mikam, kana gabeim. And then later on they go, they have yichud. So the yichud, that's yichud aroy lebiyah. There's nobody else there in the room. Standing under the canopy is hachnasa l'rishuso, but the parents are under the canopy, and the rabbi, Masadi Kedushin, and the edim are under the canopy. There are other people. What we consider as if the husband, the chasan, and the kala both entered. That room, it's like under the canopy, is a separate room, because it's a Tzuras HaPesach. There was a Hachnasa L'Rishuso into the... So that's that's called the form of Nisuin. She's an Eishas Ish B'Veis HaBal. The Gemara in Yumna says, in the first pair, whenever it says, the Ben Gadol on Yom Kippur has to be married, because the Pasuk says, Zuchepa Bada B'Yad Besa, Besa Zulishta. That's the first Mishnah in Yumna. Then the Gemara says, he has to be married with Nisuin. If only has his erusin, that's not called beis uishto, because an arusa by definition is an eshes ish alav beis habal, and nisua is an eshes ish beis habal. So the way to make nisuin is by making hachnosa l'rishusa. So there's room to argue the point and say, if you have the chuppah inside a building, and the building is surrounded with walls, and then you have a chuppah in the middle of the room, so that's not chaylik rishus bifnei atzma. The room is surrounded with mechitzas around and around, so everything is swallowed up by the bigger mechitzas. So the whole thing is considered one big room. If you wouldn't have had the chuppah in the middle of the room, you would have it against one of the, all the way up in the front, against the wall, then it would be chaylik rishus bifnei atzma. So the big room would be, it would go like a U. Big room, you have on the right, on the left, on the bottom, and then the area where the chuppah is not part of the big room. And then the little room would be chalik v'shus b'fnei atzma. But the chuppah is usually not all the way up against the wall. Usually it's moved in a little bit into the room. So that's what this contemporary Rav Chaim Alajana wrote. I think it was the Mechaber of the Maras HaTzoybos, if I'm not mistaken. One of the Achron. So he said, he's claiming that the minig to get married tachas kippas or a kid, that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra, the Ramah mentions the minig. He claims that the minig existed in days of the Yerushalmi. That's a historical question. He's interpreting the Yerushalmi that Tosis and Yuma quotes, the first parak in Yuma. Tosis quotes that Yerushalmi, the chuppas almana is not kaina because the almana is 75 years old. And we don't want to invoke the blessing of Koye Zarach and Kekoch Le'ashamayim. So she's not going to get married outside Tachas Kippur. She's going to get married in a house. And in the house, the chuppah is going to be in the middle of the room. The whole room is swallowed up with the walls around and around. So the chuppah is not chaylik v'shus lifnei atzma. But if the chuppah is besula, so it's outside, and there are no walls around and around, so then the chuppah is chaylik v'shus lifnei atzma. So that's called hachnosa lebeisa. That's what the Gadol suggested. Rav Chaim Volozhiner didn't like it, so they didn't accept. Somehow the Vilna Gaon, I think, and Rav Chaim Volozhiner followed from the Vilna Gaon. They didn't interpret the Yerushalmi like this. They held it didn't make any sense. Well, why should the Chuppah Salmona not be kind? There's no reason in the world that it shouldn't be kind. But so that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that even though we allow Bir Rishayna by a Besula to take place on Shabbos, because it's not a psik reishe, but we wouldn't permit bir rishayna by an almana, because chuppah is not kind of by the almana, and the bir rishayna constitutes the nisuin. So just like you're not allowed to do kiddushin on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do nisuin either. What else? They asked a lot of things. Erishem Yichtov. You're not a piron achov. You're not allowed to pay back a debt. Also, that we spoke about. That's one of the two reasons given why we don't permit pinyon aben on Shabbos. So they think that Trumas Adeshin, I think, is the first one who said it. So we said over. The pashtus is that the pinyon aben really should be mutar on Shabbos. And the first one who came up with this idea was the Shumas Adeshin. And one of the two reasons that he gave is that it's a Piran Achayv. Zerishem Yichtam. So we don't permit Piran Achayv. Even if you owe money to the Nachri, you're not going to hand over the money. Let's say you made up, I call up the Goyish babysitter, and she wants to come over on Friday night, so I'm going to leave the money in the drawer. So Shulchan Aruch says it's not right to do that. Even though you're not going to touch the money, you're not going to handle it. Still, Piran Achayv is not permitted because Gzer Hashem Yichtov. That's not permissible. What else? The Gemara says Halvoa is not allowed. Let's say the next neighbor needs sugar. So the next neighbor is going to knock on my door. They have an Erev in the building. The next neighbor is going to say, can I borrow a cup of sugar? Can I borrow a bottle of milk? So you shouldn't say, can I borrow? Because the Halvoa usually you write down. So you have to say, you have to say some other lashon. Shouldn't you lose a lashon halvoy? What else? The Gemara says in the hotels, in the kosher hotels, so they have a lot of guests. So a lot of times the balabos doesn't know all the guests by name. So he wants to make sure that strangers from who rented bungalows near the hotel, they're not going to come and eat his meals. So he asked the people, "What room are you, what's your name and what room are you from?" And he looks on the list to make sure. So on the weekdays, he'll check off the name. And on Shabbos, he's not going to hold the pen and check it off, but he's going to try to remember. He's going to try to figure out. So since then, the weekdays, he checks off the name. So we don't allow that. The balabos is not allowed to check all the guests who are coming into the dining room to eat. Not allowed to check them against the name on the list. He may do like he does on the weekdays to put a check out to cross out the name. Or let's say a woman has a whole menu written out what she plans to serve on Shabbos. She has a lot of courses in the meal. This is coming first, this is coming second, this is coming third. So the Gemara says she's not allowed to have the list because then she may check off as she's going in the middle of the meal. In the middle of the week, she used to crossing off what she did already, so she's not going to check it off. So every so often it happens because the women are observant and they don't, the balabas of the hotel, I don't know how observant they are. I don't know. But the women are observant, so they don't have such a list. And sometimes they forget to take in one of the courses. And after the benching, they realize they left out one of their courses that they spent so much time on a fancy course, and it was in the refrigerator. That's why they didn't see it. So they forgot all about it. But that's a gzera d'rabbanan. Just like the balabas is not allowed to check the guests on the list, so the balabaster shouldn't check either the different courses in the meal. So a lot of gzeirah shema yichtov. Yeah. So that's kosev. Yeah. What is, let's see, what else? Yeah, what is mochek? Mochik. What is the malacha of mechika? What exactly is the malacha of mechika? So the Gemara said, the Tosefta says, if you have ink spilled on a piece of parchment or a piece of paper and you erase all the ink, there are no letters at all. There's no picture, there's no letters. Ksiva is either you write letters or you make a picture, according to the Rama. According to Rashi, we already discussed, according to Rashi, only you write letters. Rashi also, if you make a picture, it's only the Rabbanan. The Rambam holds that the writing words and the language or drawing a picture is also a deraisa. It's a tolda posa. So what is mochek? So mochek, you don't have to erase not a picture and not a word, not letters, if you erase ink. Or the Tosefta says if wax spilled on a piece of paper, and you, because there's so much wax there, so it's impossible to write. You can't write on top of the wax. You're going to take a knife and scrape off the wax from the parchment or the paper, so now you'll be able to write on the paper on the bottom. So that's a malacha of mochek. So it would appear then, and what's the shira mochek? So the Gemara has, if you mochek osachas, and mochek amanas lichta, if you just mochek, that's mekalkel. So we learn out from the pasuk, malachas machsheves says by the Mishkan, doesn't say by Shabbos. But because the Chumash says a few times, you're not allowed to build a Mishkan on Shabbat, that's how we established which are the lamatas of us malachas. Whatever activity, it was a major activity. Achtavim Mishkan Hashiva Korleyav. Whatever was not a major activity in the Mishkan, but it's sufficiently similar to those major activities in the Mishkan, those are told us. And if it's not sufficiently similar, then it's mutter. So because the Chumash has so many times a link between Malachas Shabbos and the Asiyas HaMishkan, so that's why the Tanoim had a tradition that phrase, Malachas Malshevis, which never appears, the Gemara Chagiga, the end of the first parak says, it never appears in connection with Shabbos, only appears in connection with the Mishkan, but it carries over to Malachas Shabbos. The only violation of Malachas Shabbos, if it's done, Malachas Malshevis, so it comes to the inclusion of Kalach Hayad. If you write with the left hand, it's only going to be the Rabbanon, or you do something in a strange way, Kalach Hayad, or Mekalkel, or Dov Sheni Meskamen, a lot of things are excluded because they're lacking Malachas Machsheves. So if a person does Mechik Shalom and Aslichtoiv, that's just plain Mekalkel, so he's not Chai. But if he's Mechik Oysachas and Aslichtoiv Bimkom Oshtei Oysias, or let's say there's ink spilled and it dried off, or there's wax on the parchment or the piece of paper, and you have to scrape off the parchment, you have to scrape off the wax from the piece of parchment in order to be able to write in that spot. So if he's scraping it off with the intention of writing Shtei Oysias, That's mechik amenas lichtem, so then he's chayv. So you see that the definition of mechik is not really to destroy ksav, it's to do hachana leksiva. If I bring a pen and paper and ink, that's not called hachana leksiva. But if I erase on the paper, or I move the wax, I remove the ink that's spilled on the paper, that's, I make a hachana on the piece of paper. That's time I carried a pen here, and I carried the ink, and I carried a bottle of ink, and I carried a piece of paper. If you read a hachana leksiva on the piece of paper, so that's called, that's mochig. So that's why it's a big question in Shulchan Aruch. They have a chumrah, I think, from the Oz HaRuach. The Rambam quotes a chumrah, I think, that there's a shayla mochek. They used to make cookies for little children that had the aleph base on it. What was that all about? So the Rebbe Yehuda has the oris on the side of the big Shulchan Aruch that's called Dogma Mavava. So the Dogma Mavava, he says, the Rishonim, they call it Osam Ha'uas for the Hei Hayadiyah. What's the Hei Hayadiyah? What special cookies are they talking about? So he said, there's a pasuk, I think in Mishlei, that says, "B'sayroscha b'soch me'oy." Your Torah is inside my belly. It means the person has to absorb the Torah and she has to become part of him. Just like when you eat food, it goes into your system, so the Torah should become part of you. So for little children, when they just started to teach them Aleph Beis, so they used to give them cookies in the shape of Aleph Beis, and they told him it's a zgula for hatzlocha in liman haTorah. If you eat these cookies, then you'll be fulfilling the pasuk in Tanakh. So the whole idea was that the children are eating the cookies. They want to eat up the aleph base. So the Nodi Behuda writes in the Dogma Mavava, that's what the Rambam meant. Not that you have a happy birthday cake. When you eat the birthday cake, you're interested in eating the letters happy birthday. No, you're interested in the cake. You put it, it looks cute, you write happy birthday, or you write on Guten Shabbos. Here in Grunebaum's bakery, it used to be in the neighborhood, so they used to sell, every Friday they used to sell cakes, and it said, have a Guten Shabbos, or a Guten Shabbos, or something like that. So somebody called up Rabbi Schwab years ago, one of my neighbors, called up Rabbi Schwab, she just bought a cake, and it says, happy, a Guten Shabbos. How is she going to slice the cake? So he said, I pass him down a smut, and don't bother me, goodbye. He hung up the phone. He was upset why she's not relying on his hashgacha. So that's what the Nadi Yehuda says. The only time the Rama was machmir on the cookies, if the whole idea was not so much Agut Shabbos. Idea, if you eat the aleph base and it'll be in your stomach, so then you're eating the lettuce. All kavanes, to eat up the lettuce, that's called mechir. Anyway, so there's a chumrah from the Oz HaRuach. Not to eat the cookies. So the dogma of other things that it's only restricted to those. Osam ha'ugas, but the hey, how you deal? Well, that was the intention. Mishnah Berurah quotes, Roy Bachreinim are not happy with the Nadi Yehuda. They think that the chumer applies to any icing on top of the cake. You shouldn't destroy the letters. Okay, so many people are careful when they cut the cake. They cut in between one letter and the other. Then when you chew it in your mouth, that's already, we're not machmer on that. But what's the chumer not to destroy the letters? Or if you have a book, A lot of times the library prints on the edge of the pages of the book, they print the Gottesman Library, or Pollock Library, it's printed on the side. So when you open up the book, see, you're cracking the letters. So there's a chumrah in there, and the Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't use such a book on Shabbos. So you want to use dafka that book, you should put a big sheet of paper in the middle of the book, so you're cracking all the letters anyway. So every single letter is cracked already before Shabbos. So then if you miss a couple of pages, that's cracked in a different place, doesn't matter. Just make sure that you put back the paper, the big paper, back in the book, in such a way that it's cracking more letters. This whole chumrah is a new definition of mochek. Mochek means destroying ksav. Or let's say you have a bag of potato chips or pretzels or something like that. So you want to open it up on Shabbos, so we allow that. And then you have to be careful not to rip it where the words are, because you're going to be ripping the words. Is that mochek? Mochek we usually assume is hachana leksiva. This is just destroying the ksav. This is not, you're ripping it where the words are. You're opening up the book, you're just breaking the letters. You're not doing a hachana leksiva. So that's a shaila. Why should it even be an isa de rabbanon? The Rishonim assume that there are two independent definitions of mochek. One definition of mochek destroying ksav. Another definition of merchik is hachana leksav. Why should hecha teisa? You don't have that in the Gemara. All the cases in the Gemara are hachana leksiv. That's a shaila when you take a photograph, when you snap a photograph, where you assume there's some kind of a malacha or another. What malacha is there? So it could well be, what do you have in a camera?
Film in a negative.
The film. So when you take a photograph, so something develops on the film, then you have to give the film into the store, to the drugstore, that they should make a photograph out of that. So the pashtus could be that snapping the photograph is not really ksiva. It could be that it's mochek, because you're doing something that's essential to be able to do ksiva, making it possible to develop the picture later on. If you wouldn't have snapped the photograph, you wouldn't be able to develop the picture later. So it could be that taking a snapshot is a hachana leksiva, so it should really be a form of mochek. I remember Rav Soloveitchik, when we were learning these dinim, Hilchos Shabbos, Rav Soloveitchik said, sometimes they'll ask the non-Jewish photographer for the newspaper, wants to take a picture, so he asked the Jews to pose in a certain fashion. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's prohibited to pose for a photograph, even though the Nochri is taking the photograph for himself. I didn't ask him. It's not merely Akam at all. Merely Akam is, I asked the Nochri to take a photograph for me. I don't want the photograph. I don't need the whole thing. He wants to remember what it looks like. But he asked us to pose. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that posing for a photograph is an isa grama, gram malacha. The Gemara says, kol malacha lo isase, asihu di asur grama shori. That's the Gemara daf kuf chof in Shabbos. The Gemara says it about gram kibui. The Gemara talks about gram kibui. Gram kibui is mutam in a Torah. And then there's a machlekes, a rishayim, is it also mid the rabbanon or not? So the Gemara says, b'makom dleika, if the whole house is burning down, you're permitted to do gram kibui. So some rishayim hold, Taisa seems to hold, gram kibui is mutta, period. Mutta manatara is mutta mid the rabbanon. Taisa is in perikira, seems to say, gram kibui is mutta manatara, mutta mid the rabbanon. The Ramon Hilchos Shabbos quotes the Mordechai. The Mordechai says that gram kibui is mutta manatara, but it's also mid the rabbanon. Except a makam dleika, a makam hefsim ruba, a makam tzaragodl, then you make a langrama. But usually it's also in the rabbanim. So there's a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Yom Tov where the Magen Avraham writes that even though the Ramah paskens that gram kibui is mutter on Shabbat, gram kibui, gram melache is mutter menator, but it's also in the rabbanim, but only a makam dleika, a makam hefsim ruba, then we allow you to violate the isa de rabbanim. So he said, that's only on Shabbos. But on Yom Tov, gram kibui is tam mutter, even if there's no makom hefsed at all. How does he know? Because there's a Taisus in Beitza, the Taisus says that gram kibui is mutter on Yom Tov. So the Chazon Ish says, Taisus holds beferish in Shabbos, that gram kibui is mutter on Shabbos also. You don't need a hefsed merubah. But the Mordechai is the one who disagrees with Taisus. Mordechai is later Bala Taisus. But the Ramah quoted the Mordechai. How did the Magen Avraham prove from the Tosfos and Beitza that we distinguish between Gram Kibbe on Shabbos, Gram Kibbe on Yom Tov? Gram Kibbe on Shabbos is also Mud Rabbanan. Gram Kibbe on Yom Tov is Mutter even Mud Rabbanan. The one who said Gram Kibbe is Mutter on Yom Tov is Tosfos and Beitza. Tosfos and Shabbos holds Gram Kibbe is Mutter on Shabbos also. That's what the Chazon Ish is. He says the Magen Avraham is difficult. According to the Mordechai that the Ramah paskens like, it should be the same, Shabbos and Yom Tov. Sometimes you find differences. They only made Gzera Derabbanan on Shabbos, they never made Gzera Derabbanan on Yom Tov, every so often. But you have to have a Raya from the Gemara. It is no Raya. So that's what the Chazon Ish thinks. Once the Ramah Paskin and the Hilchos Shabbos, the Gram Kibui is Asim and the Rabbanan, we only make of the Mokam Dleikov, so Mokam Hepsim Ruba, Mokam Tzaragodl. So it should be the same on Yom Tov. That's the Hasog of the Chazon Ish on the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham claims that Gram Kibui, what's an example of Gram Kibui? So he says, let's say the fire is on, the burner is on in the kitchen, and the whole house is very hot, and you want to turn off the fire on Yom Tov. So we assume you're not allowed to turn off the fire. So the Magen Avraham says, cook a pot of water and fill it up to the top. So when the water is going to bubble, it's going to overflow. When it overflows, it's going to put out the fire. Once it puts out the fire, so then there's no malacha to turn off the gas. So when you put the water, when you put the water on the fire, that's going to be gram kibbutz. I put a pot of water on the fire, it's going to overflow, then it's going to extinguish the flame. He calls it, the Magen Avraham quotes the Tyson Beitzer, that's called gram kibbutz. That's a question, why is that exactly, how do you define gram kibbutz? Anyway, so how does one define what's gram malacha? So one can say, I did everything. At the end of the day, I harnessed the koyach acher, I harnessed a natural force. Let's say that that case. I put a pot of water on the fire, so the fire is going to heat up the water, it's going to overflow, because the pot was almost full to the top. When it starts to bubble, it's going to overflow, then it's going to extinguish the flame. So Tesis calls that gram kibbutz. I harnessed the natural force of the fire, and that's going to cause... So I did, at the end of the day, I caused the kibbutz. Let's say the Nachri from the newspaper, the photographer, the Goyish photographer wants me to pose. He's taking a picture on Yom Tov, whatever, of the rabbis walking out of shul with the Sefer Torah, with the Machzor, with the Siddur, whatever. He wants us to pose. So he's doing the whole Malacha. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's also called Gram Malacha. And the Mishnah Brura quotes a Sofik from the Shulti Gevurim. When the Gemara on Shabbos said that Gram Kibui is Mutam in a Torah, do we distinguish between the various Lamedes Malachas, or are they all in the same boat? So usually the Klolim apply to all Lamedes Malachas equally, that the Mesasik is Pater, and the Kelachayad is Pater, and the Kalkal is Pater, and the Malachas Machshabes, and all the Malachas. So we usually assume that Gram Malacha is Mutam Anatar by all the Malachas. And the Ramah quoted the Mordechai Tzossim and the Rabbanim, so we'll apply to all the Malachas, but the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, quoted a Sofik from the Shulti Gevurim, a Masechta Shabbos on that daf. Is that really the case? It could be that we should distinguish between the various Malachas. It could be the Ragat Shava has this to explain other dinim, other halachah, not about Hilchos Shabbos, to explain when do you allow gram, and when do you say gram is also awesome. So he has a sweeping statement. He says, whenever the Torah prohibits the action, so gram I didn't do it. So that'll be mutta. The gram of the pula would be mutta. Only asihu das rahmana gram ashori. Whenever the Torah prohibits the result, bringing about this result, so even if you brought it about, I did grama, but at the end of the day, you brought about that result. So maybe some of the malachas are nisa chalois. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to call it. Some are isa pula, some are isa chalois. So that's a suffix of the Shulti Gevurim on the side of the Rif. There in Shabbos, Daf Kufchav, maybe not, maybe gram malacha is mutam and atar, maybe it doesn't apply to all the lamites of his malach. Maybe some of the malachas are nisa chalois, and there the grama will be an Issa deraisa, not just an Issa derabban. That's a question. That's what the Bir Halacha quotes that as a question. Where did Rav Soloveitchik get this idea that grama is aser? We usually talk about grama. I put the pot of water on the fire, and at the end of the day, I caused the fire to extinguish. But if I'm going to pose for a photograph, and then home aloch is done by the Nachri, he wanted to have this kind of a picture, and I helped him by posing. So that's also called grama. But the home aloch is done by the Nachri. I didn't lift a finger in the malocha. That's a chiddush. So that Rav Soloveitchik got this Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos, quotes a Yom Shel Shleima in Beitza. The Gemara in Beitza talks about cooking. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, probably a Tosefta, I think, cooking on Shabbos. So let's say one person brings a tripod, another one brings an empty pot, puts it on the tripod, another one puts the fire. There is a fire. He brings the fire, puts it under the bottom. Then the fourth one comes and he pours the food into the pot on top. So kulam p'turim, the first three, the one who brought the tripod, the one who brought the pot, empty pot, and the one who brought the fire, their potter, and the last one is chayiv, because the bishul is done. Whoever did the last thing is chayiv. Let's say the first one brought a tripod, the second one brought an empty pot, the third one brought the chicken, the fourth one brought the fire. So the whoever brought the last thing, he's the one that did the bishul. So it says kulam pturim, and the achman is chayiv. So we usually have a klal, not 100%, we usually have a klal whenever it says potter, it's potter avalosim. So why are the first three potter avalosim? What did they do? One brought a tripod, one put an empty pot, and one put the fire on a bottom. He didn't do anything on Shabbos. So that's what the Maharshal and the Magen Avraham and Hilchos Shabbos quotes the Maharshal and the Amshel Shlema and Beitza, that that's also because of Grama. I helped set up a system where someone else is going to be Mechal Shabbos. So that's Gram Malacha. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, not only is it a Gram Malacha and a Tzasser, if the one is, the fourth one is going to be a Yisrael, even if the other one is going to be a Nochri, he's asking me to pose for a photograph. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's called Gram, whatever Malacha involved in snapping a photograph, either Mechika or something, some kind of an Issa. Yeah, one of the Gedolim, I think it's the Shalom Eishet, has a tshuva, is it permissible to make a record, to cut a record on Shabbos, so today, let's say, to make a tape. A person is going to speak into a tape recorder, and is going to make a tape of an igan or a speech that he gave. So that, I think the Shalom Eishet writes that it's ksivim midrabban. Ksivim in HaTorah is if you write something and you can read it. Here, you can't read it, but you can play it, so it's ksivim midrabban. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach quotes this in one of his sermons. So he says, why did the Shalom Eishet say that it's ksivim midrabbanon? He should have said that it's mesakim monim in HaTorah. Before I had a blank record that didn't sing and didn't give a song and a dance, that didn't give a speech, nothing. And now I play the record, I play the tape, and it gives me a whole drasha, it gives me a whole a song. So Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that that's mesakim monim. I made the tape or the record able to sing a song or to function, and before wasn't able to function at all. So that should, he thought that that should be mesakim monim in HaTorah. But because before I made the tape was blank, there was nothing there, and now it's able to function, so that should be mesakim monim in HaTorah. Now to Shaila, let's say, I want to send an email to Eretz Yisrael, and it's right before Shabbos here in America. And there in Eretz Yisrael, it's already 7 hours and 7 hours later. So it's already Shabbos, the last 7 hours. So when I send an email, so this is going to, the email is going to land. There's some location in the world where the emails are going to land over there. So if the email lands in a location, by me, it's not yet Shabbos. Let's say I'm going to send a fax. And the fax machine there in Eretz Yisrael is going to print out the fax right now. I send the fax on Friday afternoon. It's going to print out Leil Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. So is that a violation of Ksiva? So most of the Paschim say, Ruba de Ruba of the Paschim hold that it's not. Where I am. You can only violate a Malacha Bekumbi. I say, where I am. Where the Gavra is, it's not Shabbos. So he's doing Malacha Bechol. That's not a problem. But there's room to Dingzach. There's room to say that it should be Osir. There's room to say that it should be Osir. Professor Lev, the one who founded Machon Lev, he wasn't a Rav, but he was a learned fellow, and he suggested that it should be Osir, and he wrote Svarim, and he suggested one of his own, he thinks that it should be Osir. In fact, to have the Pirush HaRambam written in Aramaic on Masech HaShabbos, it was printed many years ago by Professor Asaf, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 90 years ago, by Professor Asaf. He was in the Rabbanut years ago, in the early years after Hakamas HaMedina. So the Rambam has in his Pirish, it's written in Aramaic, unusual, not written in Arabic, and it's not written in Hebrew like the Mishnah Torah is written in Aramaic, like the Yad Ramah on Sanhedrin. So the Rambam has in his commentary on the Gemara Shabbos, it doesn't cover the whole Masechta. It only covers till the beginning of the second parak, I think. So in the Mishnah, at the end of the first parak, there's a machlekes says bishanei mesilo. I permitted to set up a system. I want to dye wool. So I'm going to put wool, raw wool, in a vat full of dye on Erev Shabbos, and it's going to start to absorb the dye on Erev Shabbos and continue into Shabbos. Or I have the sprinkler system. I turn on the sprinkler system on Erev Shabbos, and it'll continue to sprinkle the lawn. The mashkeh mayim nizroim is a malacha, so it'll continue into Shabbos. So that's machlekes b'shamim b'sila. B'shamim say it's not allowed. B'sila say it's mutkali paskim mutkali. So the Ram has a long comment over there, and he writes three times in the same paragraph, b'sila will only allow it if the malacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. But if you set the system and set up the system for the Shabbos clock in such a way in the days of the Ram, how is it possible to imagine such a thing? But the Ram says, b'sila would agree to b'shamim if he set up his system when the malacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos. Then it's not allowed. So that's a question. If I do a malacha here, I send an email, or I send a fax, and the fax gets printed out in Eretz Yisrael, so I'm doing an activity b'chol, and the malacha of ksiva begins in the middle of Shabbos over there. It's not that it began before Shabbos and it continues into Shabbos. It's beginning in the middle of Shabbos. So let's see, some people have in their home, they have pictures of the children, the grandchildren, or they went touring in different parts of the world. So they have a light, and they have pictures on, and every 3 seconds a different picture appears, and after 3 seconds a different picture appears. So if you make a picture, that's ksiva. So here you set up a system that the ksiva begins in the middle of Shabbos, at the beginning of Shabbos, as one picture. Then 3 seconds later a different picture appears, and 3 seconds later a different picture appears. So there's room to prohibit that. That's the show. There's room to say that that should be awesome. There's room to say that that should be awesome. Okay, there's a little more to talk about kosher than mochek. Believe that, we'll have to save it for next
time. How do we use a clock stand to put on the lights on a Shabbos clock?
Right. So after this Ksav Yad was printed 90 years ago, in Europe when they first started with Shabbos clock, so there was a big machlekes. The Rabbanim had a whole machlekes. Is it permissible to set up a clock that the light should go on in the middle of Shabbos? Maybe Basil, maybe like the Rambam said, maybe Basil only disagreed with Beisham after the Melacha began on Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. But if you're going to arrange it, the Melacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos. Lights are going to go on Shabbos morning at 10:30. The Lam can come home from Shul at 10:45. So the lights are going to go on in the middle of Shabbos. So is that Mutna? So according to the Rambam, that should be us. They didn't have that Rambam. So it was a big machlekes, and the majority said, L'Hakel, so it was Isaac Paschal L'Hakel. Then when Asaf published this Ksav Yad, so the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael raised the issue. Maybe now we should be Machmek, because the Rambam says L'Chumra. So the majority, so Rab Zevin, used to write book reviews for Hatzofeh. The Mizrahi used to have their own newspaper in Eretz Hatzofeh. So every week for several years, Rab Zevin used to write a book review on a different sefer. And then he put together every book review as a whole fantastic hekev. He writes about Shuvis in general and writes that they're fantastic. So he put together 3 volumes of Sofrim Osfarim, 3 volumes of collected book reviews that he published. Very fascinating. So he has a book review on this commentary of the Rambam on Masechah Shabbos. So he writes that the Rabbanim had a machlekes all over again. Maybe we should revisit the issue. Is it permissible to use a Shabbos clock? Because the Rambam says that it's awesome. So somehow they decided that we're going to, since when they first came out with the Shabbos clocks, this Pirush HaRambam on Masechah Shabbos was not available. It was missing for so many generations. So they're going to leave it that it's mutter. So Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he writes about this. So he thinks if the Tanaim would have lived in our generation, they would have prohibited using Shabbos clocks for any malacha. You shouldn't use a Shabbos clock. But he said they didn't live in our generation, so it's mekubal, it's already accepted lehetera, but he thinks we should restrict that. It's only ongenumen, that is mutter, that the light should go on in the middle of Shabbos, because that enhances quote Shabbos. But let's say something to do, to set up a system, let's say there's a football game that's on TV, and I have a VCR, I think they call it, and I want to watch the football game, but I don't want to watch it on Shabbos. So I set up on a Shabbos clock my VCR, that it should take he should make a copy of the football game or whatever movie is showing on TV. It's going to be in the basement in my home, and you won't see anything on the screen, and no one's going to go to the basement to me. I'll just make a little click, a noise when it begins, and a click when it ends, but no one's going to be there anyway. And then on Matzoi Shabbos, I'll be able to watch the movie. But that doesn't enhance, quote, Shabbos. The Moshe thinks that you shouldn't be allowed to do that. He thinks it's only Ongenum and Lehatera in putting on the lights on Shabbos. That enhances, quote, Shabbos. Why does it exactly enhance, quote, Shabbos? You can leave the lights on the whole Shabbos. Who tells you that to have the lights go off and go back on again? So I'm not sure exactly what he meant. It could be that he meant, years ago, the Jews couldn't afford to have such big apartments. So it could be that they had people sleeping in that room, so they can't sleep with the lights on. So it could be that he meant, you can't help yourself. The light has to go off on Leil Shabbos, someone has to sleep there. And then in the morning, it's going to enhance Kol Shabbos, the room will be lit up. Or it could be that many of the Jews were so poor they couldn't afford. They're not going to leave on the lights for 25 hours, from Erev Shabbos till Matzoi Shabbos, Havdalah. So the alternative will be, they won't turn on the lights at all. If it's either turning on the lights for 25 hours, or not having the lights at all, the choice will be not to have the lights at all. If you have it on the Shabbos clock only for a few hours, so that they felt they can afford. So some Rav Moshe has that hachra. He thinks we should only be mekel to use a Shabbos clock to cause a malocha to begin in the middle of Shabbos if it's enhancing, quote, Shabbos.
So an air conditioner, what would Rav Moshe say by air conditioning?
Rav Moshe was an old man when he got the air conditioner, so he didn't perspire so much anyway. He thinks that air conditioner is not such a big necessity. Everybody can live without an air conditioner. Other people who are younger, we were born into the generation with air conditioning. We don't see how anybody ever survived in the earlier generation without an air conditioner. By us, we think that not only enhances quote Shabbos, it's impossible to function without an air conditioner. But Moshe thinks that an air conditioner does not enhance quote Shabbos, just a fluff. It's a luxury, and you really shouldn't set it on a Shabbos clock. That's what he writes in his Tshuva. I think for most people, it does enhance Kol Shabbos. Okay, I wanted to just say a short, brief tvater on the Parshas HaShavua. This week's Seder, we have the important din, v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, v'lo sechal lo Hashem kodesh, in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and mitzvah sesei, and the mitzvah lo sesei, of chilul Hashem. What do you mean, chilul Hashem cholo? The word cholo means empty vacuum, empty space. Means that Malach Ol Haaretz Kevod the Shechina is all over, but people who do Averis are dechek rag le'ashchina, they're pushing the Shechina away. The Shechina is going to run away. Shechina will be mistalik when people are doing Averis. So that's why it's called the chilul Hashem, as if they're chasing away the Shechina. So the Gemara has a sofik in Masech HaSehen. That's the pasuk, Kiddush Hashem, is a din of Yehoreg Val-Yavar by the Gimel Aberes HaChamuris. With the Zohar Gilev Asher Chazdamim, there's a din Yehoreg Val-Yavar, or Shara Aberes, either Vifarhesya, or Bishas HaShmadiv Metzina, the din is Yehoreg Val-Yavar. So the Gemara has a sofik, what about by B'nai Noach? B'nai Noach has seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach, so let's say Abu Dizara. The Benoch is not allowed to worship Abu Dizara. What if he's afraid, not going to worship Abu Dizara, someone's going to kill him? Someone threatens to kill him unless he worships Abu Dizara. This is the Radin of the Yehoreg Val-Yavar by B'nai Noach. So this is a sotik in the Gemara, the very last piece of Gemara in Perek Mensorah Mora, in Maseches Sanhedrin. So the Rambam dedicates Perekei in Hilchos Yisrael HaTorah is a din, is the Perek about Kiddush Hashem. So from the first line in the Perek, you see, the Rambam writes, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvim al Kiddush Hashem. He starts all Kol Beis Yisrael, only the Jews are Mechuyim. The din of Kiddush Hashem, Yehoreg Val-Yavar, doesn't apply to the Noach. That basically the Gemara's maskana. That's the maskana of the Gemara. So the Shaila is...
What about Naaman?
Right, the Gemara says, what about Naaman? Naaman said he accepted the God of the Jewish people because the Navi Elisha cured him. He went to all the doctors in Aram and no one could cure him. He had Tzaras. And then the Navi cured him. So he realized that the God of the Jewish people is the true God. He's not going to worship Avodah Zarah anymore. But then he says, God in heaven should forgive me. I have to go worship Avodah Zarah. When the king is going to go to church, I have no choice. I have to go with him. Otherwise, he's going to kill me. So Elisha Navi said, Lech L'Shalom. So the Gemara said, how did he say Lech L'Shalom? If there's a din of Yehoreg Val-Yavar by Goyim, You should have said you're not allowed to. So the Gemara, so it's a raya that there's no din of the Harig Bal Yava by Goyim. So Rashi and Tosfos understood the Gemara. Maybe it's not such a good raya. Maybe there is a din of the Harig Bal Yava, but it's only if he's going to do that with the Zorah Bifarhesia. Bifarhesia means Bifnei Asura Mi Yisrael. And the church in Eretz Aram, there were no Jews there. So that was considered a violation of Avodah Zarah B'tzina. So maybe B'fa'esir, there is a din of Yehorg Val Yavah by Abin Noach. Maybe, but the Rambam writes not at all. There's no din at all, and the Raya is from Nama. Right. So the Pasuk describes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, I am the one who told you to come from Ur Kasdim. What does the word Ur Kasdim mean? So the word Or means light, and the word Ur, the same spelling, Alav Avresh, means fire. Or luchu ba'aru b'ur ishchem, go burn in your own Gehenna. Luchu ba, that's what the Navi says. Go burn in the Gehenna that you're creating for yourself. Ur means a fire. So Ur Kasdim is a reference to the furnace, the Kibshan Ha'esh, that they, because Avraham Avinu didn't want to worship Avraham Avinu, they threw him into the Kibshan Ha'esh, and a miracle occurred, and he didn't lose his life. So the Mefarshim ask on Chumash, if such a miracle occurred, why doesn't it tell us B'feirush in the Chumash? Why is it only mentioned Derech Remez? I'm the one who told you, who took you out of Ur Kasdim. You should say what the Ur Kasdim is. Why is it only alluded to? So Levi Yitzchak Berditcheva has an interesting comment in his Sefer on Chumash, the Kedushas Levi. He says, because Avraham Avinu did Shaloi Kedin, because by B'nai Noach, the din is, there's no din of Yehar Gval Yavar. He's not mechuyev to give up his life. And the Rambam says, whenever the din is that the koch nefesh is doicha, and the person is going to give up his life, it's considered suicide. And he's not allowed to commit suicide. One is not permitted to commit suicide. The Rambam also agrees, the Kes Mishnah quotes the Nebuki Yosef in Sanhedrin and says, the Rambam also have to also agree there are cases in the Gemara where the din should have been that there's no Yehorg Val Yava, but in rare cases, Talmid HaChachamim, Tzadikim, felt if they'll make a Kiddush Hashem, this will be Mechazek Yiddishkeit for the whole community. So in rare cases, they say Chatei B'Shul Shetiske. We allow it. That's Aver Lishma. That's considered to commit suicide. In this case, it would be an Aver Lishma. That's what we usually say. B'damai Chayi. Because there were so many generations in the past of Jewish people who gave up their lives. So by their giving up their lives, that's how the Jewish people flourished. The later generation, we still exist. The Jewish people still exist. We still observe mitzvahs. But the Maichai, because they gave up their lives, that's why we're still around to talk about it. So that's what the Kedushas Levi says. Because Avraham Avinu, strictly speaking, he did Shaloi Kedin, the Chumash doesn't want to condemn him. They say he committed suicide. He was attempting to commit suicide. Al Kiddush Hashem. And he wasn't allowed to. He wasn't going to accomplish any Kiddush Hashem. They were going to continue on worshiping Avodah Zarah. So that's why the Chumash didn't want to write. So it's interesting. There was a Chassidish Rebbe who wrote the Sefer Bnei Yisoschar, a Pirsh Melech Dinover. So Bnei Yisoschar is all Chassidus and Kabbalah. It's about Shabbos and all the Yom Tov, and goes month by month. Nisan Yisir goes all the Yom Tov. Beautiful sefer. So then he has another sefer that's Aloha sefer. Derech Pikudecho. It's a sefer on mitzvahs. It goes just to the middle of Mishpatim, 50 some odd mitzvahs, I think, then it comes up. They're not sure whether the Rebbe never wrote the rest or the rest was written but it was lost. But Lamaisa, we only have to the middle of Mishpatim. I don't know how this happened when the Jews were in Shanghai, when the Miri Yeshiva was in Shanghai for a couple of years there in the middle of the Second World War. So the Vat Hatzalah printed Gemaras for them, printed Chumashim, printed Sidurim. So they printed some Chassidish Sfarim also. So somehow my father had a copy of the Derech Pikudecha that was printed in Shanghai. My father was not in Shanghai. My father's family was in America way before the Second World War, after the First World War. But he had a copy of the Derech Pikudecha. Now it's available. Derech Pikudecha is reprinted many times. So he discusses on the mitzvah of Mila, he discusses what's the din if there's a Nochri who wants to convert. And in order to be Megar, you have to have Mila, Utfila, and Kabbalah on mitzvahs. And the Nochri has a medical condition that if he's going to have a bris Mila done, let's say he has, what do you call it? Hemophilia. Right. And there's a concern if you're going to have a bris, he may die. Or he has a heart condition, whatever. There's a concern he may die. So there was an opinion in Europe, Abitzala Panavisha was a very original thinker, and Ruba de Ruba, his psalchim were not accepted because he was too original. So he was once Megaira Nochri without Mila. He said, since it's impossible to do Mila, so you don't need Mila. Just like the Gemara said, the Vanchein based on Migdush Kaim, the Ger cannot bring the Korban, so the Korban is not Miakev. So if the Ger has a medical condition, he's not able to do the Bris Mila, then the Bris Mila is not Miakev. Rav Chaim Moshe used to go raise money for the Bad HaYeshivas and Teloys the money. So he met this Ger in his factory. He was a wealthy man, and he convinced him to give money. And then the Ger was very proud of the fact that he was a Ger. So he shows Rav Chaim Moshe, he has hanging on the wall his Ksav Geris, the Rabitzel Aponavisha gave him, and says the whole story there. Rav Chaim Moshe told the Goy, he thanked him for his money. He said, I want you to know that you're not Jewish, that the Geris was not valid, that there is no such thing. If he can't perform Bris Mila, he can't become a Ger. That's all, period. Not that you become a Ger with that. The Sridi Yesh has a whole letter from Rav Chaim Moshe. He has a whole story in the Sridi Yesh and Chelek Yeridei. So the Rav Hirsch Melodinova, this Chassidish Rebbe, B'nai Yisoschar, under the mitzvah of Mila, he talks about Mila for Ger, and he raises a question, is the Nochri permitted to be Moshe Nefesh for Yiddishkeit? He's attempting to become a Ger. He wants to convert, but he knows if he'll perform a bris mila, he may lose his life. Is he permitted to put his life this hakana because he wants to become Jewish? He's not mechuyev to put his life this hakana for avodah zarah. That's the Gemara's maskana. The Rama says called beis hametzul malchidish Hashem. He has a suffix whether he's permitted to put his life this hakana in order to convert. Gosh, this is that not. Anyway, that is an issue of this manazah also. If a man has a medical condition that prevents him from performing the bismillah, can he convert or not? So there are many who are mekel, like Abitzel Aponavisha, and Rav Chaim Moshe held that it was a big mistake. Okay, Belinda, next week we will continue. We're in the middle of Mochek, Mechika.
Rabbi, isn't Ota Bishu by definition a grammar? I put the water on the fire and I walk away. An hour later, it cooks. Isn't that grum by definition? That shows that grum is higher in
you have no choice.
Okay.
You have no choice. No. That's a question. What's the definition of grum? Maybe we'll have to talk about that. That's a very important issue. Yes. Okay. We will have to talk about that. Maybe we'll have to try to remember to start with that topic. What's the definition of grum? Rav Soloveitchik didn't like the definition that was adopted by Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and therefore by the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosan. He thought it was not correct. So maybe we'll start with that next week. Okay.
Thank you, Scott.
Be well.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.